All right, we are back. I discussed with you a few weeks back an article that revealed that the United States government has been working with pastors in groups, and the goal is when the government has to come into an area and take over. I'm not sure I want to use the term declare martial law because I don't know what the circumstances may eventually be. Might have a situation like the government imposed in New Orleans, where they went around confiscating guns. After the fact, of course, the federal court said that was unconstitutional. They couldn't do that. But since when does the government give a rat's behind about that? Chuck Baldwin has written a fabulous article in follow-up to the revelation that the government is working with pastors to have them encourage their flocks to cooperate with the government, including surrender their firearms. The article is entitled, America's Pastors, Preachers of Truth or Promoters of Tyranny? And here's the article. Once again, the burden of responsibility to help maintain America's liberty rests upon the shoulders of the men in the pulpits. That should not surprise us because it has always been this way. Part of what made America great was old-fashioned, tell-it-like-it-is, no-nonsense preaching. Most of what we hear today is a bunch of mealy-mouthed, pussy-footing, ear-tickling, don't-offend-anyone preaching, which has largely contributed to America's current slippery slope into the sewer. But if you thought it couldn't get any worse, guess again. A startling television news report from Shreveport, Louisiana, has revealed a sinister plot hatched deep inside the diabolical brain cells of the Bush administration to use America's pulpits as promoters of tyranny. This is a strong statement, I know, but it is true. According to KSLA Television in Shreveport, the Department of Homeland Security intends to use America's preachers to help pave the way for martial law in the event of another terrorist attack upon the United States. The KSLA report begins, quote, could martial law ever become a reality in America? Some fear any nuclear, biological, or chemical attack on U.S. soil might trigger just that. KSLA 12 has discovered that the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us. The report continued by saying, quote, gun confiscation is exactly what happened during the state of emergency following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, along with forced relocation. U.S. troops also arrived, something far easier to do now thanks to last year's elimination of the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act, which had forbidden regular U.S. Army troops from policing on American soil. If martial law were enacted here at home, like depicted in the movie The Siege, easing public fears and quelling dissent would be critical, and that's exactly what the, quote, clergy response team helped accomplish in the wake of Katrina. The report went on to say, quote, clergy response teams would walk a tightrope during martial law between the demands of the government on one side versus the wishes of the public on the other. In a lot of cases, these clergy would already be known in the neighborhoods in which they're helping to defuse that situation, assured Sandy Davis. He served as the director of the Cato Basir Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Quote, for the clergy teams, one of the biggest tools they will have in helping to calm the public down or to obey the law is the Bible itself, specifically Romans 13. Dear reader, are you getting this? In order to convince American citizens to surrender their firearms to the government during a time of martial law, Department of Homeland Security is enlisting the assistance of America's pastors. According to the Department of Homeland Security, my job as a church pastor is to tell my congregation that, according to Romans 13, they must surrender their firearms when the government asks them to do so. Of course, faithful readers of this column know that I have already addressed the Romans 13 question. And as a Dave Champion aside, you got that last week. For those who are ignorant of Romans 13, let me address the issue bluntly. According to Romans 13, every citizen is only bound to obey his or her government official to the degree that the governing official does not violate the duty of the citizen to obey the higher powers, which for Americans are God and the U.S. Constitution. In other words, no Christian can be ordered to disobey God, and no American citizen can be ordered to disobey the U.S. Constitution. Properly understood, Romans 13 teaches that each and every government official, including the President of the United States and all of those under him, must submit to the United States Constitution. Article 5, Paragraph 3 of the United States Constitution states, the senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executives and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. So what does the Constitution say regarding the disarmament of American citizens? The Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution could not be clearer. Quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Did you get that? The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Therefore, any attempt to disarm the American people must be viewed as an act of tyranny and must be resisted. The right to keep and bear arms is rooted deep in American history. I remind readers that it was attempted gun confiscation of the colonists' arms, which had been cached at Concord, Massachusetts, that directly precipitated the beginning of America's fight for independence. America's founders were clear on this subject. Our first president, George Washington, called our firearms, quote, the people's liberty teeth. Our third president and author of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, said, quote, no free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. The strongest reason for the people to retain their right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny in government. America's founders spoke unanimously on the subject. Patrick Henry said the great object is that every man be armed. Everyone who is able may have a gun. Samuel Adams said, the Constitution shall never be construed to authorize Congress to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from having their own arms. And what did Lord Jesus Christ tell his followers on this subject? Jesus said in Luke 11:21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Did you see that? Jesus said that in order for a man's good to be in peace, it was necessary that he be armed. Furthermore, Jesus told his disciples in Luke 22:36, he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Upon hearing the words of Jesus, Simon Peter responded by saying, Lord, behold, there are two swords. That means at least two of Jesus' disciples were armed with swords. There's a note here from Chuck. The swords are the first century equivalent of a modern handgun, something used for personal protection. Close note. And Jesus did not rebuke them or ask them to surrender their swords. He merely said, it is enough. I realize that after Simon Peter used his sword to cut off the ear of the man as soldiers came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told him to put up thy sword. But notice, he did not tell him to give up his sword. He merely told him that it was not time to use it, because it was in the plan and providence of God that Jesus be taken to Pilate, that he might be crucified for our sins. Don't tell me that the Bible teaches pacifism, because it doesn't. I am a Christian, and I am a pastor. And I agree with Charlton Heston, who said that they could have his gun, quote, over my cold, dead hands. If DHS believes that I will ask my congregation to give up their firearms, they are grossly mistaken. It also needs to be pointed out that, apparently, DHS must already be planning to declare martial law in the United States, or else this kind of advanced strategy would not even be necessary. Why would they already be asking pastors to prepare to request their church members to give up their guns if they did not intend to declare martial law? Now, what every single church-going Christian in America should immediately find out for themselves is, what does my pastor intend to do? Will he ask me to surrender my guns or not? I highly encourage every reader who currently attends church to ask your pastor this question right now. Of course, the next question Christians need to ask themselves is, what will I do if my pastor says he would ask me to surrender my guns to the government? I suggest that every church member in America settle this matter right now. And if you discover that your pastor would indeed ask you to surrender your guns, if asked to do so, you should immediately leave that church and find a pastor who believes in the Bible and supports the U.S. Constitution. Furthermore, if you do not currently own a firearm, you might want to heed the words of Jesus and go buy one. So once again, the burden of responsibility to help maintain America's liberty rests upon the shoulders of the men in the pulpits. Will we be preachers of truth or promoters of tyranny? Doesn't get any more clear-cut than that. I agree with Chuck Baldwin 100%. And I agree that every Christian who is a member of a church or who attends a church should go immediately and talk to their pastor and find out where he stands on this. And if the pastor says, well, if the government says you should surrender your guns, then I would have to tell you to surrender your guns. And I agree that if that's the answer, you should immediately leave that church. Now, having said all that, and I hope nobody in my audience fits the description I'm about to say, having said all that, most Christians won't do that. Most Christians probably won't even ask what their pastor would say or do. And if they did ask and they found out that their pastor would say, yes, surrender your guns, they won't leave the church. Because most Christians, the whole Christianity church thing is a feel-good thing. It's a sense of community. We all know each other. We get along. We have picnics together. We worship together. We have so many friends here. Their kids, our kids and their kids play together. Do you hear anything in there about God? Do you hear anything there about doing right? Do you hear anything in there about morality? No. I once asked a young man that I was in the gym with. He was probably, I'm guessing, about 20. And he was going on and on about how wonderful it was to be a Catholic. Not in the context of this article, I'm not criticizing Catholics any more than I am any other version of Christianity. But I asked him what was so wonderful about being a Catholic, and he immediately, without hesitation, rolled off about 10 things. And as gently as I could, I said, I have to make the observation that after you told me all of the great things about being a Catholic, I never heard the word God and I never heard the word Jesus. All that does is exemplify that so many people are involved in, I don't care whether it's the Baptist church, the Catholic church, the Congregationalist church, the Apostolic church, what have you. They're involved in that for feel-good reasons, not for issues such as, is this church doctrinally sound? Probably, if you said that to half the Christians, they would ask you, what does that mean? Is this church doctrinally sound? I don't understand. So with such little understanding and this whole feel-good thing, which is just disgustingly rampant in the Christian community, it's all about feeling good. It's all about feeling holy, righteous, without ever having to actually do anything to start your path to being holy and righteous. Do we really imagine that kind of Christian, which regrettably, at least in my eyes, constitutes the majority of Christians, do we really think they're going to leave their home church where they are members, where they are emotionally invested, because the pastor says, yes, I would tell you to surrender your arms? No. Most of them aren't going to do that. There's only one thing in this article that I really disagree with, and that is where he says, if you don't currently own a firearm, go out and buy one. I just take exception to the word one. Go out and buy several. While we're talking about this, and this is not in the stack, this is completely impromptu, let's talk about what you might want to have in your firearms collection.